Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, September 25th, 2010, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki, or Ea. Enki's interest in and love of humankind is well documented in Sumerian literature, and in Eridu, humankind flourished. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. That potential still exists where Enki buried it, deep in human DNA. Enki knew that the sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, a miraculous gift of Source, which was his delight, and the greatest fear of many other Anunnaki, cannot be oppressed forever. Where better to express the resurrection and actualization of this potential than in New Eridu?
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me on this lovely Saturday afternoon. At least I hope it's lovely where you are. It's been beautiful here. A few rain showers, but we're having a long, slow, even decline into autumn, and that's exactly the way I like it. We left the boiling temperatures of summer and are slowly winding down to the cooler days and evenings of fall. And in Texas, that's kind of rare. We usually just slam from one season to another. One day it's winter and the next day it's summer. So having the luxury of an actual season is appreciated. So I understand it's getting kind of nippy up north already. So I think we're going to have a long winter also this year, and it's going to be wetter than normal. So kind of keep your galoshes handy, because I think we're going to need them. Oh, wow, what a week I've had. There's been a lot of interesting things going on, but the lesson for today actually came from some stuff that came up this week. As you'll see, the topic is evolving dependence into sovereigns. And I'm going to tell you a little story here from what's happened to me recently and where the inspiration for this particular show came from. As most of y'all who have been following me for a while know, I quit my day job in corporate America back in April of this year. And I'd been winding down, actually, for a little over a year. I had gone part-time, and I just discovered that there wasn't anything there for me anymore. There wasn't the opportunities were gone. The desire to want to climb the corporate ladder was gone. The games that kept getting played were always the same game. And there was no winning it, and there was no changing it. And it just became obvious it was time to do something else. So I left the security of the steady paycheck to go strike out on my own. Now, I had done little businesses in the past, but they were always a part-time thing to earn more money, because a great deal of my career I was underemployed and wasn't making really enough money to make ends meet without the part-time second and sometimes third jobs. So I wasn't exactly a stranger to starting a business. It was it was something I had done before, and I was fairly comfortable with it. I knew what I needed to do. But still, doing that in this economy is probably not the smartest move to ever make. Nevertheless, I was doing semi-okay, but, you know, still not quite paying the bills. And I've been really having to put a lot of effort recently into figuring out, how am I going to enable my own abundance? How can a sovereign be a sovereign if they are dependent on someone else for their paycheck? How can a sovereign be a sovereign if they cannot maintain their own holdings, if they cannot feed their own people. That's where I was. And I was looking at it from the point of view of I'm failing to meet my obligations as a sovereign. Here I am teaching other people to do it. And yet I'm not able to do it myself. That can't happen. That's not allowed. The rules say you can't do that. So, and at the same time, I also knew other people who were struggling, others who were having trouble maintaining employment or gaining employment because of the economy or because of age discrimination. And these are good people. They're intelligent. They work well. There's no reason for them to be struggling like this. They have paid their dues. They've earned their place in society. They should not be having to go on welfare or live on the street. That's wrong. So I thought to myself, what can I do to enable us all to have our abundance that we have earned, that we deserve? And it occurred to me that I could help other people, even though I couldn't send them money. There was a time in my life I was making enough money that if somebody needed $100, I could write them a check. I wouldn't even have to bat an eye. But those days are long behind me. So I had to find another way to enable people and to enable myself. And I did that by creating a small online company that provides writing services and web design services and other essential services for businesses that are not a part of the kind of business that they do every day. So they need to outsource those things. Somebody needs something written. They only may need it written one time every 2 years, because their product doesn't change that much. But when they do need it written, they need it done well, because their users are going to have a problem otherwise. Or they need a website developed. Well, they probably are going to get that website developed, and it's going to be 5 years until they need to change it substantially. These kinds of jobs are not something that you find in the normal employment stream. People don't hire somebody and then, you know, hire them permanently and then keep them on. What they do is they go contract it out. So that's what this company that I founded does. It finds people who have skills and matches them using the internet with people who need those skills. And I know it's not a unique business model. Plenty of other people have done it. The approach that I'm taking may be a little bit different than what you usually see, mainly because I'm essentially letting people work together and collaborate. I don't care, as long as the work gets done, who works on the project. They're responsible for keeping their time, and then when we get to the end of the project, the proceeds for that will get proportionally paid to them according to how much work they've done. So I'm hoping that that's going to enable all of us to be able to take on more work, to find work more regularly, to get a more regular paycheck, and to remain sovereign, remain independent at least. Now, the reason this is important is because if you look back in the Sumerian literature, the early documentation of civilization on Earth, which derives directly from rules that were handed down by the Anunnaki, you will find something called the myth of civilization. There isn't a direct translation for the word myth. However, an outgrowth of that word, and if you look at the etymology, is measure. The measure of civilization, where you are on the scale of uncivilized to godlike. These are the rules. These are the measures that you will be held accountable to determine whether or not you are civilized. The myth of civilization defines the roles of intelligent beings as either dependent or sovereign. A dependent could be anything from a child to an old person who can no longer care for themselves, to a person who has been injured or is otherwise incapable of managing all of their own affairs, to someone who simply chooses not to, who wants to have someone else take care of them, who likes the nanny state, who likes being a slave. There's nothing wrong or disgraceful about that. That's a choice. You're allowed to make that choice. But you have to understand when you make that choice that you give up certain responsibilities, and when you give up certain responsibilities, you give up certain privileges. That what you do with your responsibility earns you those privileges. So a person who is a dependent is trading responsibility and safety for sovereignty. When you look into the world today and you face the question of, are we going to trade our freedoms for safety, for example, with Homeland Security? And there was a thing on CNN today about the TSA searches going too far? And of course they are. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not going to get my eye scanned. I'm not going to walk into one of those full-body scanners. I'm not a criminal. I'm a sovereign. Okay, what does that mean? That means I probably am never going to fly again. I don't care. I'll find another way. Until that stuff stops, I opt out. But the reason those kinds of measures are there, and the reason that we're not having this huge hue and cry over what's going on, is because there is a segment of the population that only craves safety. They will do anything to have someone else take care of them. They will put up with anything. They will relinquish anything to feel safe. Now, personally, I think it's probably false security, but it's their choice, and they can make it. However, I choose to make a different choice because I'm a sovereign. I choose to take the extra risk, but also take the extra responsibility. I don't want someone coming into my life and telling me that they're going to keep me safe, but I have to, in exchange to that, I have to give up my ability to defend myself. I'm going to maintain that ability to defend myself. No one is allowed to take that. I am allowed to grow my own food to ensure my own survival. No one is allowed to take that away from me. That's the difference between the people who believe that the government will protect their food supply. It doesn't. That the government is going to take care of the terrorists. It can't. That's the difference in thinking that I'm talking about when I'm talking about dependents and sovereigns. There are a lot of different shades of gray with independence. I mean, there are some people that are dependent only because they have an injury or a condition that prevents them from fully taking care of themselves, but in other ways function entirely as a sovereign. And there are categories of scaled privileges that go along with that. And it's possible to begin as a dependent and to become a sovereign. Now, humankind has been kept in an artificial state of dependency. The powers that pretend, those descendants of the guild masters of the Anunnaki, who were given instructions by Enlil and his group to maintain humans as slaves, ready to reaccept the Anunnaki masters when they returned, the plans that they put in place 7,000, 8,000 years ago that had been played out and kept us in this artificial state has conditioned the entire species to be dependent. Very few people are naturally sovereign, who are able to deprogram themselves and cleanse themselves of the mimetics of dependency. There have always been some. There have always been some. And we could debate the reasons for that. Doesn't really matter. Some of it's genetic. Some of it seems to be passed down in families the same way that the powers that pretend pass down their stuff in families. Some of it just seems to arise spontaneously. In fact, a great deal more of it does, because you'll find the black sheep in the family and everybody else is a dependent, and there's the black sheep, and the black sheep is usually the sovereign. The one who's going against the current is usually the sovereign. One of the absolute requirements that is on the human species at this point in our evolution, and also as we stand on the threshold of becoming a citizen of the galaxy, is to become more sovereign. And I mean a lot more sovereign. We need to definitely take steps, concrete, measurable, documentable steps to increase the number of sovereign individuals, and following that, the number of sovereign governments. The United States may or may not have started out as a sovereign government. By a sovereign government, I mean truly an independent entity, not dependent on any other country or authority other than Source to derive its right to be. Every group relies on two things to justify its existence. The first is its responsibility to its people. It must answer to and reflect its people's will. The second thing is responsibility to all other entities. In other words, you can't just go around being a pirate society or being a parasitic society or somehow oppressing another society in order to benefit. You can't do that and be a sovereign society. That's not how it works. The whole goal of sovereignty is to lift up. A properly running sovereign society will consistently increase its number of sovereign individuals and sovereign societies within that culture. consistently will do so. When it's healthy. And we are being asked to move from the dependent culture that we're in to a sovereign culture. Dependency breeds more dependency. The more welfare checks you write, the more people end up on welfare. We've proved that I don't know how many times. Really and truly, we have to get off our butts and just do the work. However, it's difficult. And most of us are not outfitted with the thinking processes and the skills to be able to be truly independent. The first level of sovereignty, there's only two levels in sovereignty that are defined in the myth of civilization. Independent and enabling. Now, I'm going to talk about independent first because that's what you move into. When you're a dependent and you want to leave dependency behind and you want to become a sovereign, you must pass through the phase in which you are independent. Now, independent has two prongs to it. The first prong of independency is that you are no longer dependent on anyone else to derive your own livelihood. You are no longer dependent on anyone else to run your household. You are no longer dependent on anyone else to maintain your security. You can take care of yourself. You don't require someone else to help you. That's independence. There's another aspect to independence, and that is that you, in turn, have no one else who is dependent upon you. That one's tricky. People who are married, for example, to someone who is still locked into the dependency model are going to have a really hard time making that transition because that other person is going to be trying to pull them back into the dependency cycle. So they're going to have a choice to either continue and let the chips fall where they may, or to raise that other person up with them, which may or may not work. So that one's going to be tough for a lot of people. Just making that one step there is going to be difficult. The next stage in sovereignty is enabling. Now, the Anunnaki have a little different word for it. They actually consider it to be the ruling class or the god class. And they have their own form of political correctness, and that's starting to fall into the politically incorrect category. You call it ruling or god. They're looking at it more from enabling now, but you'll still occasionally will run into some of that language and some of that attitude. The reason that that is becoming politically incorrect is because when you reach a certain level in that society, you pretty much can write your own ticket. You have to have really done well for yourself, however, to get to that point. But it has a tendency to be abused if you think of it as privileged class, the elite. If you start thinking in those terms and not in the sociological term, which would be enabling, then it starts to breed the perversions that we see amongst our own elite, the ones that are so rich that nobody can touch them. And it's interesting to watch that some of these ultra-rich are now starting to become touched by the laws and such. Paris Hilton, for example. I mean, she's uh, Maybe she didn't get the Senate she would have gotten if she had been somebody from the projects, but at least they're starting to enforce the same laws on these folks. It'll be even better when they are enforcing them exactly the same way, and these folks end up spending 4 or 5 years in jail when they should. So, anyway. Enabling sovereigns. That says that not only are you capable of taking care of yourself, you are also capable of helping others become sovereigns or to become better sovereigns. You are enabling others. You are enabling the society around you to be sovereign. That's a big responsibility, by the way. A big one. What I did this week was the action of an enabling sovereign. I am still an independent sovereign, but I'm becoming an enabling sovereign. Doing this radio show is the act of an enabling sovereign. If I reach anyone, and the proof is always in the pudding, okay? I could do this radio show until I'm blue in the face, and it won't matter at all unless it helps other people. If it helps other people, then I'm enabling. That's what I'm hoping I'm doing. That's why I'm acting the way I'm acting. That's why I'm going out and forming companies and hiring people that deserve to have work and deserve to have an income and deserve to be sovereigns and not be on the dole and not be dependent. I'm not giving them anything. I'm not giving them a handout. I'm not giving them money. I'm giving them a hand. I'm giving them an opportunity. I'm giving myself a hand. I'm giving myself an opportunity. Enabling doesn't stop with somebody else. I have to enable the enabler before I can enable anyone else. I have to enable myself. And then I can enable other people. Or I can even do it simultaneously, as I've done in this case. Enabling doesn't have a defined boundary. There is no place that you can't go with it. You just have to go with the right approach and the right attitude and the right idea. Or else, guess what? Law of causality, you go in with the wrong stuff, you're going to fall on your face. So if you're smart and you go in with the right stuff in the right direction with the right attitude at the right time, then it'll work out. I haven't been watching the chat room, so if anybody's asked a question and I haven't been paying attention, I tend to get on a roll and I'm looking all around like I have an audience. So not watching the chat room. Ask questions. Or call in if you'd like to ask questions. Now, of course, you realize that the powers that pretend don't like the idea of it at all. It really confronts them seriously, particularly as there get to be more of us that are aware of our natural right. There's going to be pushback. They're going to try every dirty trick there is to make us fearful, to put us back in that fearful state, clinging to them, oh, save me, save me. No, no. It's time for that to stop. We're not 3 years old. We don't need mama skirts. What we need to do is to band together, sovereign with sovereign. sovereign with high-functioning dependent who has the potential to become sovereign. And start lifting people up. Start giving them the hand. Give them the knowledge. Start moving up. We will form literally a human ladder to sovereignty. And we will pull our civilization in that manner out of the dirt, out of dependency, out of slavery, by teaching each other, by enabling each other, by bringing together our resources, by forgetting our egos, and I have to be better than you, I have to make more money than you, I have to have a bigger car than you. That's BS. That's part of the control system. The control system wants us in an us versus them paradigm. Get rid of the us versus them. Get rid of the this is my sandbox idea too. Okay, it's your industry. Okay, it's your website. Okay, it's your online community. Okay, it's your little neighborhood clique. You know what? Divide and conquer is ruled through this is my sandbox. There is healthy competition and there is unhealthy competition. Healthy competition grows both parties in the competition, and at the end of the day, they shake hands and go for a beer. Unhealthy competition breeds division and dirty tricks and backstabbing and lying. Powers that pretend want us in unhealthy competition. They want my group to say this other group, which is also doing good works, by the way, maybe not the way we would do them, but they still are good. My group saying that group over there is no good because they're different, or simply because they're not us. We need to break down that barrier. We need to break down that barrier online. We need to break down that barrier in our politics. We need to break down that barrier in our schools. We need to break down that barrier in our communities and in our neighborhoods and even in our families if that applies. I've seen it apply in a family. I've seen families absolutely divided against each other. That family's not going to prosper. Its children are not going to have the same level of support in anything that they do. And they won't get as good a launch in life as the family that sticks together and is monolithic. I look around on the internet, and I'm going to use the internet as an example because it's clear there. Two online communities, they look exactly alike. They have the same content. Their pages are filled with the same artwork. Their members are talking about the same subjects. And yet they are not together. They may not even know about each other. Because nobody went out and looked. It never occurred to anybody that, you know, instead of building this and reinventing the wheel, I could just go join somebody else who's already got it going. And we can take that energy that I'm spending on building this new community into combining with this other one and growing it even more. The power of division and the power of ego. Ego because it was my idea, therefore it's better than anyone else's, even though everyone else's looks exactly like mine. Mm-hmm. That happens. I've seen it just recently. That has to end. That's not how sovereigns behave. When things are rolling well and we all have abundance and we all have all of the freedom that we need to do the things that we need to do for ourselves, our community, our world, then we have the luxury of saying, I'm just going to go play in my little corner here. And I'll interface with others only where I need to. But we're not there. We're in trouble. We need to be out there working together. We need to be building the sandbag walls against the virtual flood here of things that are challenging us. If everybody was to just take 5 or 6 sandbags and pile it where they thought it belonged to protect their property, and nobody connected those walls up, the flood would still come in. It would go right around it because there would be gaps in the wall. And that's where we're at now. We're sandbagging our own little segments rather than our collective segment, our world, our society, humankind. Got to work together. Got to break down the barriers. Got to break down the lines that say me versus you, us versus them. Got to break that down. Powers that pretend aren't the only ones that are going to be in opposition to these efforts to break down these barriers. Powers that pretend have a stake in the game big time, but they're not the end-all, be-all of it. We've got 7,000-8,000 years of conditioning telling us that we need to compete, that we need to build ourselves up and not feed anyone else. We've been taught to be selfish for a reason, because it enforces that us versus them paradigm. We can look outside and see the influence of the powers that pretend in the media trying to keep us separate. We can see that clearly. But what we need to realize we need to do just as much, if not more, is to look within and see where we're doing it to ourselves through all of those years of conditioning. Where am I building myself up and competing unnecessarily? Abundance for me is good, but only if I'm also sowing abundance for others. Because if I'm going to become a sovereign, I not only have to be responsible for myself, I also am responsible for those around me. I am responsible to my world as a whole. I am responsible to whomever is in my sphere of influence. And your sphere of influence is large. Every single thing you do affects something else, somebody else. And you may not know who it is affecting. You could be walking down the street having a conversation that you think is perfectly innocent with someone. Somebody else hears that conversation and it triggers off something in their mind. And it changes the direction they were going to go. You're not even aware that you have done this. But guess what? That person was in your sphere of influence and you changed something about them. That's why it's really tricky to be a sovereign. Because that's the kind of power that you have. And you don't even realize it, but you already do it. You already have that power. You choose to throw something in the recycling or the trash. Okay? One time, not a big thing, right? But it's not just you doing that. There are millions of people making that same decision every day, and it's cumulative, and the effect is huge. If everybody threw their soda can in the trash instead of in the recycling, guess what would happen? Now, what if it was the other way around? That's another example. We have to be mindful at all times of our decisions, of our internal states. Where am I creating divisions? Where am I building up myself at the expense of others? Mindful. Mindful of programming that may be embedded in there. Where am I doing an us versus them? Where am I not being inclusive? How do we overcome these barriers? We overcome them by simply living as a sovereign, by not allowing someone else to tell us what we have to do. Choosing our own path. If you owe something to somebody, they own you. I say that because I have, and I'm probably a poster child for that. I was at one point almost completely free of debt. And over the last couple of years, because of various things that have occurred, I have debt now. My focus is on that debt, because I'm going to discharge that debt, and those people no longer will own me. They will no longer have a claim on me when I discharge it again. There's a lot of people who don't, who think they're free, but they're not free, who think they own a lot of stuff, but they don't. I had an example, I had a coworker who didn't have $20 to go to lunch. And I offered to spot him the $20. And he took great offense to this and made a big point about how he owned $1 million worth of property. You know what? He didn't own $1 million worth of property. He had $1 million worth of debt. He didn't own a single thing outright. He was making payments on every bit of it, and that's why he didn't have the $20 to go to lunch. There are a lot of people that are like that. They think just because their name is on a piece of paper that they own something. No, you don't own it unless you've paid for it. No one else has a claim on it. It's hard as heck in this society to get that point. Number one obstacle, clear your debts. Number two obstacle, pick up all of your responsibilities. Be involved in your community. Be involved in your family. You don't get the right to complain if you're not involved and not doing. Stop whining, start doing. Pick up your responsibilities. Run with them. It's discipline. Really and truly, it's discipline. You're going to overcome the obstacles between you and sovereignty by deciding, intentionally deciding, that you are going to become sovereign and understanding what that means and then doing it. Now, what are we going to be when we get to where we are a sovereign society? What's that going to look like? Well, let's go to the criteria that we're faced with. To become a member of a galactic civilization, what do we have to do? We have to, first of all, have each individual clearly defined and understanding their role in that society, and have to be either content with it or working towards bettering it actively. No more of this thing like you see so much of over in England, in United Kingdom, where you have these people that sit around and they take their dole check and they whine. No more of that. If you want to be independent, you have to be working towards it. You can't just whine. No revolution of society has ever occurred through whining. It has always occurred through taking responsibility and taking action. The first thing we have to show is that we know who we are, we know where we are, we know why we're there, we know what's required of us, we're fulfilling what's required of us. That's the first thing we have to do. And each person has to have that answer ready. A child would say, I'm a dependent on my parents until I'm 18 years old. At that time, I will have this education and these skills, or, you know, some idea of it. They don't have to have it perfectly defined. Or I will have a trade, and I will be working my way into independence. The person who is the young adult might say, I am clearing my debts. I'm still dependent because I still have debts. I'm clearing my debts so that I become completely independent. And then I can enable myself, and then I can enable others. And the adult who is in a position like myself can say, I'm independent, and I'm moving into being enabling. As I see opportunities to enable, I enable. One step at a time. It's only a matter of knowing who you are, where you are, what you want to do, where you want to be. What will a society of people that can do that look like? It will tend to be more orderly. When people have goals and understand them and are moving towards them, they are less likely to be taking things away from other people. They are more likely to be focused on their own business. They are more likely, particularly as they get up into the enabling class, to be actually reaching out and helping others. So it'll be more peaceful. The divisions will tend to melt because everybody is going to realize they have similar goals. The particulars of them may be different. One person may be working on independence as an artist, and another may be doing it as a scientist, and another may be doing it as a car mechanic. Doesn't matter what particular it is, it's still the same path. It's still the same goal. And each of those roles is important for a different reason. They're each unique. But all of them are necessary to a well-functioning society. those who are working towards their goals are more likely to have defined what they want to be doing in realistic terms. So you're not going to find a person who becomes a lawyer because his family expects him to, or who becomes a teacher because her mother was a teacher, or, you know, follows in the family footsteps, or meets someone else's expectations of them. Oh, you're so smart, you should become an engineer. Well, maybe I don't like engineering. Maybe what I want to do is architecture, or maybe what I want to do is play music. You realize when you look at that and you plan your life out to become sovereign, you realize when a path is not going to take you there. We turn kids out of school these days, and they have no clue. They don't know what they want to be. They don't know what they want to do, what a real work day is like. And we expect them to figure it out fast. And they get out there and the pressure to get a paycheck and pressure to have money to take the pretty girl out on the date, all of that stuff starts coming down on them. I got to pay my rent. What am I going to do? I got to get a job. It stops being, what do I want to do with my life? And then it becomes a hard scrabble, how am I going to eat? When people are focused in that tiny little time slice of what am I going to eat, how am I going to pay my rent, when they're focused in that tiny little time slice, they're not focusing on what they're going to do in the bigger picture. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. They're stuck on the lower part, meeting the basics. A society that is transitioning towards sovereign behavior starts moving up that pyramid towards self-actualization. Everybody's eating. Everybody's getting all the basic stuff that they require. More people are moving up towards self-actualization. It becomes clearer. So what did I learn this week? I learned that even under difficult circumstances, it's possible if you're a creative thinker about the things that you have already in your sphere of influence, you can find ways to enable yourself and you can find ways to enable others if you look for them. Is this something I want to be doing for the rest of my life? Probably not. But you know what? It's going to get me to a point where I can start to do the next thing that I need to do for the rest of my life. Everyone can do that. So this week, what I would like every one of y'all to do as you go through your week is to look for opportunities like that. Look for where you can make a difference to yourself and make a difference to others. Look for where you can break down barriers. Look to where you can be more inclusive. Let's become sovereigns together. I'm going to close out the show at this point with the song La Isla Bonita by Earthonica.